And I want to start with giving you an official intro. You are the Amuchastegui. You are part of the Amuchastegui family. You are Aaron and Kalina Amuchastegui, who are initial members of Famabundance. You are a dynamic couple that we will dive into, a couple that has experienced different types of levels of being in a relationship, meaning you've had the level where you've been dating, you've had a level where you've been married, you've had a level where you've been working together. So you're a couple who's had a lot of experiences and have had to communicate a lot over the last, let's just say, 15 to 20 years between the two of you. And you're also, you live an incredible life of travel and curiosity, teaching your kids on the road, homeschooling, putting family as a major pillar and priority in your life and how you spend your time. So, and I could dig into a lot more. You've created success in businesses. You've created incredible leverage in your businesses that allows you to live this type of a lifestyle. So we're going to dig into all that. I'd love for you to tell us a few details, like how long have you been married? Where do you live? And then how big is your family? And don't forget the dogs.
How long have we been married?
12 and a half years. 12 and a half years together, like almost 16 years.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you didn't get it wrong.
Yeah, you didn't remember.
July 15th, we reside in one of our home bases is in Northern California. We have another new home base out in Austin, Texas. That's been a fun, exciting thing. Four kids. So Madeline, Charlotte, and Isabel are 11, 9, and 8. I know, I got it. She was helping me because I tend to do what my parents used to do, and I call them the wrong names and the wrong ages all the time when I'm just thinking too quickly. And then we have little Brax, who's 3 years old. Two dogs. One is Buddy the dog, who is actually a girl, but was misnamed when we didn't, when she got mixed up with another puppy when she was little. And Bonnie the dog, that is a girl. And that's our
dog. And two alpacas.
And two alpacas, Luke and Leia. Which are pretty awesome. I mean, they're super awesome for pictures and to look at. They aren't as fun to play with as we thought they would be. But it's really cool to say you have two alpacas.
Yeah. Oh, that could lead to just curious. What were you thinking when you thought of playing with the alpacas before you learned what reality was?
That's really good. What's that Modern Family where Phil Dunphy comes home? He's like, I got the last alpaca, and he's so excited. For years, I was always telling Kalina we needed more animals for the farm. Like, let's get pigs, let's get goats. We had goats for a while. They died. And then, the alpacas were a Christmas present. But forever, I'd be like, I'm going to buy all these alpacas. And she would always tell me no. And so then when she got them for me as a present, it was like the ultimate present. But they're so fluffy. And I think I pictured that you would almost be able to like hug them and pet them and let Brax ride them. And they're way too fast. Like if Brax tried to ride them, they'd die or you'd go for a heck of a ride. But they don't want to be cuddled or touched. We have to like trick them into coming close to us by like feeding them and then grabbing them. So they're just animals. They're not teddy bears. And I was hoping they were going to be more like teddy bears. Were they about like you expected? Kalina told me they'd be a bad idea.
Yeah. So.
She was right.
But when you buy the,
that explains our family unit pretty well.
Yeah. How it goes.
She told me no and then did it.
And then I did it anyway.
She was right.
Yep. So that sums it up. That's how we do life.
That's it.
Take notes and then.
So here's a question is, I know you all pretty well. So I want to give a little background. Before I go into a question that I could just ask, I want to give a little background for the audience. So you've had a business together.
Like, yeah.
Talk about how you got into business together and then what you learned about communicating with each other, being in the business and what you did wrong. And then now looking back, how you see, how you learned a lot of great lessons.
You want to start with that or you want me to start that?
So we had a business together. Aaron flips homes and I became his broker and real estate agent. So he would buy a house at auction, do the construction on it, and then I would be his listing agent and sell the home. And I did that really successfully for like 7 years. We started right when Charlotte was born. Charlotte came 6 weeks early and ended up in the NICU. At the time, Aaron was working for a home builder, and it just, seeing her in the NICU with all the wires and stuff on her just flipped our perspective, which you were just talking about. I'm like, life is so short and we should be spending it with the people that we love. And Aaron always wanted to have his own business. And so that's when he, I mean, really within a month of Charlotte being born, Aaron quit the home builder he was working for and started his own business. And so then by the time Charlotte was like 4 months old, I had my license and I started selling homes. And we were doing a lot of homes. We had a big business, you know, two to three years in, we were really, really busy. And quite honestly, it took a huge toll on our marriage. We didn't prioritize correctly. Our values were not in the right spot. And we got caught up in the excitement of like the financial aspect and the power that real estate businesses can bring and that money can bring. And so, and we didn't communicate with each other. Like it wasn't, we had a business together, but it wasn't like our business. It was like we competed against each other in our own business. And we kind of like self-imploded like, what, 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. It just got really bad.
Yeah, I would say, you know, and part of it, you know, when it was first seeing Charlotte in the NICU, that was, you know, Kalina was at the time was working nights as a casino, as a waitress at the casino.
Yeah.
Right. So I was working for the home builder during the day. I would get home. Kalina would hand me Maddie, who was the baby, and she would go and she'd be a waitress until 3 or 4 in the morning. You know, and at 6 a.m., I'd leave for work and Maddie would, you know, and Kalina would be on 3 hours of sleep and Madeline would be waking up. And so Kalina was like, you know, groggy. And she was doing that while she was pregnant. So part of us seeing Charlotte in the NICU was going like, this is my fault. If I had been more successful, if I had provided more for my family, if I had done more things, you know, Kalina wouldn't have had to be pregnant and being a waitress at night and Charlotte wouldn't be born early. This is my fault. I need to make a change. And so that was the idea of us starting our business. I have to say when we, you know, the way that it kind of ended when we worked together was a sad story. The way that we started was a great story, right? Like I still remember the first year of the business. Like we had never been a team unit like that before, right? Like Kalina would be driving by to look at houses that we were scoping out with Madeline in the back. Sometimes we'd be doing it together after dinner. Sometimes like I'd be at auction doing something and I'd be calling her. Like when it started, we were a team. And part of the reason behind that is we needed it to succeed for us to pay our bills.
Yeah.
Right. When I quit my job, we had 6 weeks savings and 6 weeks later, we hadn't bought a house yet. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to get a job. So when we first built that business, we were a team unit. We were an equal team unit. Either one of us was willing to do whatever it took to make it succeed. A few years go by and we've added lots of employees and lots of volume. And the company was making a ton of money. You know, the Kalina's brokerage was making a ton of money. So she was making $50,000 a month. I was making $50,000 a month. And most people, when you say it out loud, it's like, that's crazy. How could anything go wrong? But we didn't know what to do. We weren't set up for that. We weren't ready for that success. We didn't learn what to do. You know, at Fran Bunnens, we teach about money. We didn't know what to do with that money. We didn't know what to do with that success. And it got to our heads. And like Kalina said, we got competitive with each other. And it started being like, well, no, this is, I can do what I want. This is my money. Well, no, you can. And she's like, well, I can do what I want. Well, this is my money. And it just became this weird, weird niche. So what we learned is when we really needed it. And when you truly work together as a team, when like you have the same goals, I think it can be this really pretty fun thing. But what, you know, what we really learned is that wasn't the best balance for us. And we've shared with a lot of people that then when we first started flipping houses again, went completely out of business, lost millions of dollars, lost all our money. We're completely in debt when I restarted the business. And I had gone to her and said, hey, I've got this new opportunity again. We have a chance to do it over. We've been wanting for this fresh chance to do it over. I need you to go be the broker out in Texas again. I need you to go get your license. And thank God she was smart enough to say, I'm not going to work with you again. I'm not going to be your broker. And at that time, I'm like, we're missing out on $20,000 a month and we need it. And that's a lot of money and we need it. And she said, no, I'm going to run the family. I'm going to take care of the family. I'm going to support you. I'm going to support the family. I'm going to make sure that the family unit is whole. I'm going to support you to go run the business. And at the time, I thought she was crazy. I thought there was no way we'd be able to make up the difference. But we found that perfect equation for us was working together, like, for what's better in life and not working together with what's in business. Because now our business is more successful financially than it was before. And our lifestyle is more successful financially before. So we had times that worked when we worked together. But now as we work together, it's more like, this is one big family unit. And the way that she helps me in my business is she helps me as a wife and she helps our kids as a mom. And then, you know, as we start adding in all these new different ventures and fun things that we do.
Yeah.
That's amazing. The journey that you've been on.
And she was right. Right. Again, so that's always the underlying theme is that she told me one thing and then she was right.
And I'm curious, as you've gone through this, creating kind of a taking care of, how did you say it? You said it so beautifully. You said that instead of working as a team on a business, you're working as a team towards something what's important in life.
Right.
Yeah. For the most
part. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember what I said, but yeah, for what's the most important part, like it's like the whole life, everything. It's that the family's healthy and happy, that we're financially stable, that, you know, it's that everything. So now our team unit, instead of like, how big can we build our business? It's how great can we build our family? Money is still part of that. And our business is still part of that, but it's different roles now.
Yeah. And how have you two learned to communicate with each other? You've jokingly said, you know, like you come with an idea. She says, potentially, maybe you want to rethink that. Probably not a good idea. You say, I think I'm pretty smart. And then you go do it, and then you realize, oh, wow, she's actually a little smarter than I am when it comes to kind of seeing the future for these things. Like, that definitely happens, right? That's happened to me, and not only in my intimate relationships, but even with my friends. I just can't see what I can't see. Other people can see it. What are the ways you've communicated as a husband and a wife and as a mom and a dad to grow closer to one another and also to respect each other in making decisions as parents?
You know, I think it's just really important to create space for that person and what I mean by that, because especially being married to an entrepreneur, and that's what this group is for the most part, right? So like, I need to create space for Aaron to create and do his job, and he needs a cheerleader and he needs somebody that is looking past what's just happening right now and what this is going to look like for our entire family 6 months down the road. And so like, that's my job it's just easier for me now that I'm not a part of the business to stand on the outside of it and go, okay, this is what he needs. This is how I can support it. This is how I can provide for him what he needs. This is when he just needs me to cheer him on. This is when he needs perspective. Right. And so it's just where, now it's just a balancing act, but I think it really is helpful because I've been in the business before. So I can definitely see, like, okay, he's in flow right now because he's creating this, or he's got this big deal going on. And so he needs this kind of space in his life. Whereas there's other times where it's like, I don't know. I think it's just, we've been doing it for so long. It's just kind of that give and take that we just do a lot more naturally now.
We communicate a lot. Like, because I work from home, we see each other a lot, right? We're doing our Ironman training right now. Most of that's together. Like, we spend a lot of our day together. You know, hours and hours a day we spend together. Sometimes we're in the same room doing different things, but a lot of times, like, we get to see each other a lot. So we communicate and talk about everything. So we don't have, you know, and a lot of times it's probably like, you know, it's really anything I'm thinking about or anything she's thinking about, we share. And so most of what we're sharing is like about our day, what's happening. And when you get to have a lot of like normal, no pressure conversations, it makes it easier too than if once a day, even there's something like, but hey, what about this though? What about this major thing we need to talk about? And when we're talking about, sometimes we get to speak, like talk philosophically, like, hey, as the kids get older, what, you know, what do we think we should do about money, or what should we do about this, or how will that go? A lot. So because we get to chat so much, we can have conversations that aren't as imperative, like with a deadline now, that we can plant a bunch of seeds. But we definitely over communicate a ton of stuff when we're at our best.
We talk
a lot more recently. Like when we're at our best, like we, you know, we've started doing the, hey, let's spend, you know, we've done a lot more date days where we have a sitter come in for a few hours and we go work out together. We go to dinner together. We like plan for the week. We're prepping our meals for the week and our plan for the week. And just that like extra hour on Sundays of like, what's our week going to look like? What days can we hang out? What days are we not going to? What days do you have something I need to be ready for? What days do I have something you need to be ready for? So that's fairly new to us, to try to, on a schedule, make sure that we like write down our calendar and our goals and our schedule together. But that's been really neat to get to start doing that.
Yeah.
I just want to hit on two things, because I think that you just gave two golden nuggets for the audience that is listening to this. And I just want to acknowledge the audience that is going to be listening to this. Some of you are live right now on our Zoom call. And many of you who will be listening to this will be listening to this in the future. You'll be at the gym. You'll be in the car. You'll be potentially doing your Miracle Morning or Charms, and you're looking for some audio to get your reading done. And you go to the FamBundance YouTube channel. You click on the Amuchastegui interview, and boom, you're listening to this interview. And what I want to say is there's a couple things that Aaron and Kalina just shared that I think are so simple, it's just really easy to overlook. And one of them is, and I'll start with the last one, creating a day in the week to see the future together. Because in a way, when you take that hour to then try on the future, in a way, we call it, like, as we're designing, we think about, you're almost trying on the future. Because as you look at each day and you look at the activities, you also get a sense of the timing, the feeling, you know, what mood might the kids be in right here? You know, what else is going on? So you start to see the future. So taking that one day to get an iteration and to communicate you and your wife to see what's coming up the next week, that's huge. I love that. I do that for myself and it makes a huge difference. If I don't do it, I'm scrambling. And if I do it and see the week ahead, I feel pretty calm. So that when things emerge, I can make better decisions because I've already seen all the other things. So creating space to communicate with each other on the schedule coming up, the weekly schedule coming up. And the second one, and Kalina said it, that was creating space. Creating space, and she said it in a way that she wanted to create space for you. And I'm sure that the same thing is probably true, you creating space for her. Where you somehow created some sort of space for her to either be off on her own, whether it's you taking the kids, or are you creating space by you just not being there, chatting about something that you want to chat about so that she can have space on her own? So that balance of creating space for each other.
Yeah, definitely has to be mutual. And, you know, and one of the things that, as you were redescribing it, it's kind of like, as individuals, a lot of times we plan our week, we journal, we plan our days, we write down our goals, you know, we come up with our 5-year plans. You know, so we do a lot of things, you know, kind of coming from the living your best self world. We all have all these resources, but there's a lot of things that we do as individuals and so being able to do that as a couple. And so sometimes it'd be like, I'd go to an event and write down my goals and do something, or she'd go to an event and write down her goals and it doesn't do you very good in a marriage if they aren't shared or if they're not done together or communicated. And so doing some of those same tools that we did as individuals to become successfully, and then being able to do those as a couple together on Sundays. Like I said, that's a newer thing for us. It should be something that was like, oh yeah, of course that would make more sense to do your goals together, or do your weekly planning together. But we didn't. You know, we've had a great relationship for a lot of years, and it still wasn't something that we did all the time. And for creating space for her, it's going to be different things at different times. You know, understanding your partner, you might be surprised what creating space for them could be. It could be, you know, just, can you hang out with the kids upstairs for a little while so I can go downstairs and do this? You know, it can be, you know, one day it was like, hey, sending her to a spa for a spa day, and then just telling her, hey, I've got the kids all day, go do whatever you want, right? Because, you know, for the last 2 weeks I've been traveling and you've been doing the kids by yourself every day. So just go do whatever to do that. And so it's, you know, as you get to know your spouse, ask them what they want, ask them what they could use, or just listen. Because, you know, sometimes it's just that, like, wow, the last few days have been super stressful with you gone. It's just, there's been a lot more pressure than normal because of X, Y, and Z. And so being able to hear that and go, okay, well, maybe a way to create space for that is tomorrow you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. I will. I'll block off the day and I won't do any work stuff and you can go do whatever you want.
Beautiful. I love that. You just got some specific with something that was broad. I really appreciate how you got specific on how you create that space for her.
Yeah. And she will be back in a second. She heard little Brax wake up from his nap. So she's probably giving him a chicken nugget and a snack. And then she'll be back down shortly. So don't throw me any hard questions while she's gone.
I won't. Buddy, I'm going to go with a hard question. And that particular question is going to be, coming to the realization that you wanted to have the homeschool experience. So one of the ways that you wanted to nurture your family to create kind of that whole system fulfillment of being in a family, one of the routes that you chose as a family was homeschooling. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was a really interesting journey because at first it starts back at a time when we had no interest in doing in homeschooling, right? Like Kalina had started to get really inspired by the vice principal of the kids' private school they were going to was leaving. And so Kalina was like, why are you leaving? And went to lunch with him. And he inspired her to read a few books that just kind of, you know, explained different things about the world and learning, because his comment was, my kids are going to be old enough to go to this school next year. And I can't have them come to this. And he was the vice principal. He said, I can't have them come to this school because it's wrong. So I need to go start a school that works for them. Right. And he ended up starting an Acton Academy in the area. And I think it's one of the biggest ones in the U.S. right now, if not the biggest one. And the
Matt Boudreaux.
Yeah. Matt Boudreaux. Right. So he's a close friend of ours. And at that time, our kids were still going to school. But it was enough to plant a seed in Kalina's mind where she was like, just enough to kind of mess you up, right? Like when you realize that eating McDonald's isn't healthy, like all of a sudden you're like, oh no. Like there's like some truth that you find out in life that you're sad you find them out. So she had started to find I was super sad when I realized McDonald's wasn't healthy. So she started to find out that maybe the traditional education wasn't what it was supposed to be. So that all he had did was plant the seed for her. And then, we had done a few family trips and then we actually, did a family trip where we were coming out to go to Famabundance out in Philadelphia. And so the first few days we went to a trip in Miami, we pulled the kids out of school that week. We still had no intention of homeschooling, just pulled them out of school for a week. They went to a business trip with me in Miami. Kalina did Miami by herself with the kids, you know, drove around, you know, crazy traffic, place she had never been, did all these activities each day that you could do. And I got to do a work trip and we were like, okay, that was pretty cool. And then we flew up to Philadelphia to Mike's house for the first Famabundance. And Jim and Jamie Shields were the two of the first speakers. And they talked a lot about like some different education stuff. So that was some of those next seeds that started to get planted about like other options for education. The process, you know, and I'll let Kalina jump in. His question was, how did we get to where we wanted to start homeschooling? You know, and so we just talked about, you had kind of gotten inspired from Matt. We started to get inspired from our activities. But it really first was like we just kept going on trips and pulling them out of school and then doing homework on Sunday, you know, before we would send them back. And where do you think it really started transitioning with you to go to all the way homeschool?
You know, I think the biggest point, and I think about this all the time right now, as I'm on more podcasts, as I journal more, as the 5-hour school week evolves into something a little bit different than I had even imagined that it was going to be. I ask that question, like, how did we get here? Because 12 years ago when we got married and said that we were going to have kids, the school system was always a part of that. There was never, I mean, our kids going to college was always a part of that. You know, we talked about that stuff.
Public school too. Like public we weren't going to go to private school. Right. Like, it was public school.
And so I go, how did we get here? And I mean, honestly, I think it comes to one simple thing. And that is just learning new truths. right? We learn new truths. We're, as children, we're told all of these things, and we're told, like, this is just the way that it is. And the problem is it's like 80% of us, we just buy into that. We go, okay, that's the truth. So you go to school, and you go to school from 8 to 3, and you do that your whole life. Like, that's what I did. That's what my parents did. That's what my parents say to do. So that's what we'll do as parents. And everybody you're around, like, that's what they're doing. So, of course, like, there's nothing else to do. And then my world just got a little bit bigger, right? Like, I met Lindsay McCarthy, and she did something completely different with her kids. And you hear from Jim and Jamie Shields, and they have like this whole thing, and they like the education matrix. They don't teach that in a classroom. And they have, all of a sudden, my world just got a little bit bigger, and there were other truths. And that was like huge for me. Like, it rocked my world. All of a sudden, this one little box that I had been living in, and I believed it to be the only little box that existed, it just kind of broke apart. And like, our vice principal at the school that our kids were going to, I mean, he was leaving, and he was like my favorite administrator at the school to go. He was leaving to go start an Acton. And it just, like, what's an Acton? Like, why would you do that? And, you know, his response was, I could never send my kids to the school that I'm a principal at. Like, I just could never, I couldn't teach here. I couldn't, you know, I couldn't have them here. And so I think, and then it's about education. You know, I started educating myself about what people are doing. I read books like Free to Learn by Peter Gray. And I talk about that one over and over again because it really changed my life. And we talked, you know, I started reading Free Range Kids and Most Likely to Succeed. And once my world just get bigger, I just had this new passion to explore and educate myself on, like, what else was out there. And it became really apparent to me that, I mean, really, we're allowed to do whatever we want.
That,
I think
that last year, though, you went back to school. Like, you took all that stuff, and then you took them back to school in September.
I did. I took them back to school in September, and I had been offered the PTA, like, to be the parent teacher president for our school. They'd called me over the summer and asked if I would step into that role for the school, and we had a big community of friends and stuff. And in my heart and in my gut, it was not what I wanted to do, but I still led with comfortability for a little while. I mean, I think that that's just what we do. You remain comfortable until that comfortability, like, it was no longer comfortable. It got to the point, like, getting up and taking the girls to school, it was like, it became painful. So what used to be what used to be like all I knew, all I believed in, and was like my comfortable safe spot, became a place of like, this isn't actually for us, and this isn't adding to our life, and there is more out there.
And then I was on another business trip, and I think in Miami again. So I was at that same event that they had gone with me the year prior, and Kalina, we had a trip that was getting planned. But while I was away, she was going to parent teacher conferences, and I had seen what was going on. So I said, you know, let's plan a trip for a couple weeks in November where, you know, she'll have to get out of that role. The kids will have to get out of school. We're going to go on a trip again to try to, like, separate, because everybody was starting to get more and more stressed. And then when you called me that morning, you said, I'm going to parent teacher conferences, but I think I'm going to do it. She said, I think I'm going to pull them out of school today.
Yeah.
And at that point, we didn't have a plan. We just knew that we had tried a bunch of experiments. We had tried the 5-hour school week experiment. We had tried the idea of going on the road and not bringing our homework and coming back and doing it in a day. And we had a lot of success with different things, but still at that point it was theories,
yeah,
right? It was, we had stumbled along a little bit, but when she finally was brave enough to do it, we didn't really have too much of a plan, or the plan that we had quickly disintegrated, like, within a day.
Yeah.
But I remember that, and you came home and told the girls, I pulled them out of school. They cheered for you. Cheered for you. A couple of the teachers said, like, I mean, what were some of the reactions when you said you're going to pull the kids out of school?
Well, I mean, two of the three girls as teachers were like, we would do the same thing. We totally get it. You know, administration wasn't over the moon excited about it, but at the same time, I feel like we were, you know, pretty much supported. And I mean, it was really like, I got to the place, though. I mean, I have to be 1,000% honest, is like, it was really like beating a dead horse. I mean, we had been talking about it for nearly 18 months with the kids as a married couple. I had been reading a ton of literature. I was reading all the blogs. I was obsessing about it. And so when I finally did it, I mean, there was really no other. I had backed myself into a corner where it was like, you're going to either accept this life that you're super unhappy in, or you're going to do something different. And we had found Fambundance. Aaron had found GoBundance. And so now we had this total different mindset where it's like, you can't keep doing something that makes you unhappy. You can't keep living this life that isn't serving you. And so, yeah. I pulled them out of school. And then
and one of the things that is so interesting is that every single system, every school, depending on your area, depending on your region, depending on the socioeconomic levels and so many factors, that there's so many different experiences that as people listen to this call, that in no way is this call or is this Learn and Grow call about one way being the right way or the wrong way. I think Kalina hit it perfectly, the nail on the head, which is, it's just that there are multiple truths and you get to decide what is the truth that you want to have for you and your family system. And one of our goals with our Learn and Grow calls is to bring ideas that challenge the status quo, that challenge just the normal way of doing things. Even if you might not agree with it or it's not your thing, that's okay. It's just another option. And maybe you put it in the option bucket for down the road. Just want to make that clear that this is one of the things I love about Aaron and Kalina is that they're super passionate about it and they did their research and they really went in, did their due diligence and talked about it for 18 months and read all the blogs, read the books before they pulled the trigger. And that's a really smart move. That was a really smart move to do that. The kind of fateful moment where a vice principal is walking out and giving Kalina, looking her in the eye and saying, I don't want to bring my kids to this institution. That type of an experience is also an experience that makes it hard for you to then feel good about it, knowing all the things that he knows.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things just wanted to say there and be clear. And I also would like to get just a little bit of clarity around. Tell us a little bit about two things. One is, how do the days actually look for the kids, for Charlotte, for Izzy, for Maddie at this point in time, and potentially Brax? How have your girls gone through this experience of being homeschooled, and what does their day to day look like? How are they choosing? What are they experiencing? How are you holding them accountable? And what's your highest hope for what this will do to them for their lives?
Yeah. So it's so cool because it evolves, right? Like, it's always changing, but we are in this really cool place right now. Yesterday was a perfect day. So I do a combination of things right now when we're at home, right? In which we have been more so lately. And the girls have a free-to-learn co-op that they go to twice a week, which is super great. They go there. It's all like self-directed learning. They fall under Agile Learning Centers. So if anyone's just looking for options that are kind of similar, look up Agile Learning Centers. They're literally like popping up everywhere right now. And so they go and they get to like plan their day. Maddie has learned how to sew there. She writes scripts and they build production plays and they do all of this amazing work there. So they go there on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then the other 3 days of the week, we just organically, we have just fallen into this really cool schedule where the girls wake up usually by 8 o'clock, 8:30. They cook their own breakfasts. Like, Izzy is all about cooking her own eggs, and they meal prep for the week. They do their own lunches and they watch this show called like Bunches of Lunches or something. And they're like obsessed with their own meal prep. So they do that. And then usually, so we kind of say, hey, around 10 to 10:30, let's meet up. And so we meet up around the kitchen table. By that time, like, I've worked out, I've fed myself and Aaron, I've done my 5-hour school week posts and all of that. We meet up around the table and we go, okay, what are we going to learn? And like, how are we learning it? Like, what does the next hour to 90 minutes look like for us? Because this is when we're going to like dive in to something. And the whole goal of the next 60 to 90 minutes is really to just learn something new. And I really give them free rein on what that's going to be. We use an online curriculum, and they can really maneuver through it really easily. And it's the basic stuff, right? Like, this is the math and the reading and the history that everybody really worries that my kids aren't learning enough of. And this is how they learn it. And so they dive in, and one day Maddie will spend 90 minutes just like in social studies. And it, like, she's a sixth grader, but she's like already through her seventh grade. She's almost through seventh grade in history, social studies, because she loves it. And then another day it'll be language arts. And sometimes Izzy will just do language arts all week long. For every single hour, she'll just do language arts, because right now she's obsessed with becoming a really good reader and a good speller. Like, that's like her jam right now. And so it's all she'll focus on. And so that's what we do. So like for the next 60 to 90 minutes, we just dive in, and I make myself really available. Like, my phone's not near me. I'm either like washing the dishes, or I'm just sitting with them. Maybe I'm on my laptop and I'm working on something, but I'm available to like help them. But they're really moving through it, because I want them to be independent learners. I don't want them to like rely on someone to teach them something, right? I want them to like, okay, I want to learn how to do this. This is how I'm going to learn how to do it. So I just want to like facilitate and be there. So we do that. It usually puts us at lunchtime. And we'll have lunch together, and then we move into either a field trip or a passion project. So a passion project we had recently was like, we were talking a lot about screens. So it's usually like emotional intelligence or financial literacy. It's something that like directly will add value to our life. And we work on that as a group. So I had just read a book called Screenwise. And so then we did like this whole debrief on, you know, what are we consuming? What does that look like for us? What's healthy? What's toxic? All of this stuff, like just being really intentional. Like, what are we taking in through screens every single day? And we did like some charting and stuff around that, right? So then we do, you know, we'll do that for 15 to 45 minutes, just depending on how into it they are. Or we'll go to the gym and bounce around on, you know, go to the jump zone. We went to the trampoline park. And what was cool about that is, if you saw my post today, we have like a circus gym where there's silks and where you like do like aerial acrobatics, yoga type stuff. Izzy sees this amazing woman just like pink style, like flipping and doing all the stuff on the aerial on the silks. And she just goes right over to that lady when she came down, and she's like, I want you to teach me how to do that. And the lady did. She spent like 20 minutes with Izzy and like showed her all of these things. And as we were walking out, I'm like, I'm so proud of you. And she said, Mom, I was so nervous to ask her, but that's the only way I'm going to learn. And like, that's it. Like, that's how I know it's working. And that's what makes me really passionate about this is, and that's what our days look like, is it's just like little learning moments and little pockets like that, where I'm like, okay, they're independent learning. They're finding the things that they want to learn, and then they're chasing it. And Maddie right now is obsessed with stop motions, making stop motion videos. So she spends just hours and hours watching YouTubers, watching behind the scenes of YouTubers. She'll spend 2 hours down here in like our production thing that we have with the lighting and stuff. She'll take like 300 photos. It'll give her like 3 minutes of footage for these stop motions. And she's learning how to edit on the computer and do all this really cool like graphics. And so that's what our days look like, is it's, you know, 60 to 90 minutes of really intentional focused learning. And then it's the stuff that really lights us on fire and adds immediate value to our lives.
I love this. I was just on a, I was actually going to set this up at the very beginning of this call. I was going to say that at one point in time, Aaron's arm is going to get tired, and they're going to have to make a decision as a couple what to do to continue to hold the phone. For those who are listening on audio, it's a priceless picture that you're seeing, that I'm seeing right now. I'm sorry. It is just, the phone has just changed hands. From Aaron's hand to Kalina's hand, and now she's going to hold the phone for the next 15 minutes.
Super sore. You got to
equal that out.
Yeah.
You got to equal that workout.
Yeah, that bicep's going to be huge.
I was, right before this call, I was actually on a pre-Learn and Grow call. So I was having a pre-interview with a woman named Vanessa Stone, who is one of the founders of the Amala Foundation, and her track record just goes on and on and on. The work she's done with adults and children, it's phenomenal stuff. And one of the things that she talked about is allowing kids to have two things. One is, and there's several things she talked about, but I'm going to share two of them because as it relates to what you're talking about, and it is that you're allowing the kids to become immersed in something that they're interested in. And she might call that giving the kids the ability to follow their wild, being wildly trusting.
Yeah.
So like just being trusting that the wild, she called it have wild trust in yourself. And some of that wild trust comes from being able to have time and space to go investigate something you're passionate about. It's a muscle that can be, so that's one thing is you're allowing your kids to be immersed in something that they're passionate about in the moment. And then when I say immersed, that immersion that I learned it first through Tony Robbins, where he talked about one of the greatest ways to learn something, whether it's karate or running or a triathlon. Triathlon's a great example, is you immerse yourself.
Yeah.
You immerse yourself in the activity, because when you immerse yourself in it, because you're super interested and you create space to go do it without having some sort of a time frame, that you allow yourself all of these different opportunities to integrate more of it faster, quicker, and a greater level of retention.
Right.
So the immersion and the connection to what they're passionate about is like, that's beautiful. And then you said, with the kids learning social skills, like Izzy going up and asking the woman today at the trampoline gym with the flying trapeze, I'm going to call it, or the silk trapeze.
Yeah.
How are you now? I know they have their 2 days a week. How are you making sure that by them not going to school every single day and not seeing kids every day and not interacting with teachers every day, that they're still getting the social skills that is required for them to navigate the world and approach people like they did today?
Yeah. So this is always such a hard one. It's the one that everybody asks. And for us, it really comes down to the fact that I don't honestly feel that the school system has a very healthy socialization environment, right? So that's number one for me, is I don't feel that interaction with teachers and with 30 plus kids and the way that recess is designed and the way that it's all kind of set up, honestly, I don't know if that really serves our children at the highest level when it comes to learning how to have healthy social skills. So that's number one that it's really important for me to say before I say the rest of it, because for us, it comes down to very much like what it is for us and what we advocate for in like GoBundance or any growth mindset community that you walk into. It's like, pick your five, right? It's about quality over quantity. It's about what are you bringing into that relationship and what is that relationship bringing into your life? And what does this friendship actually mean to you? And because we didn't know that. Like, we got out of high school and college, and socially we were kind of train wrecks, right? Like, we grew up in a small town. Aaron graduated high school with all the same kids that he went to preschool with. So when he went to college, he didn't even know how to make friends and start new conversations because he'd been hanging out with the same people his entire life. And so it's about opening up the world to our kids, having a lot of different groups where they interact. So Fambundance is amazing. The gym that we go to is amazing. Our church and the girls go to youth group weekly. That's amazing and a really huge part of their social life right now. They do have their co-op, and those are all like-minded people that have similar philosophies. And so that's how we do it. And like, when we travel, they meet kids at the pool. And when we go to Fambundance, I mean, we meet like our dearest friends. They FaceTime and they text, and Maddie's old enough that she emails back and forth. And so like, that's how we keep it. I get a lot of people worried that my kids don't have enough friends. And honestly, I'm really happy with like the handful of friends that they each have. I mean, Aaron coaches soccer, so when it's soccer season, they've got their soccer friends. And so, I mean, that's the one thing that I rarely hear my kids complain about is that they don't, you know, is that they don't have friends or they don't have anyone to play with or any of that. And yeah, it'll come up from time to time. My kids spent 6 years in the school system. So at first there was definitely like, oh, something's missing. I'm not, you know, going out to recess is going out to recess with your siblings and going outside with your siblings. It's not going out to the playground with 90 children. So that does feel different, but different doesn't necessarily mean wrong. And you just have to kind of get used to something that's new. Maddie is my best example of how the socialization really becomes beautiful because Maddie is able to like pick and choose the relationships that make her feel good and that she can contribute to in a way that's healthy. And as I'm watching her turn into a teenager, like for me, that's crucial. And I'm really happy with the way that it's going. We have a million conversations about friendships and relationships, and
it really is the funniest question though. And they go, "How do you know your kids are having a healthy socialization when you homeschool?" And I can say, "How do you know your kids are having healthy socialization at school?"
Right.
It's just different, right? So at school, you're friends with by proximity.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to be friends with the kid that you get sat next to in a desk, no matter what. Like, so at school, your friends are picked for you. The people in your class are going to become your friends that year. And it's not by choice. It's by proximity instead of by choice. And as we get older, we say, don't hang out with the loser friends. You know, the people that are holding you back, disconnect with, just be friends with the, only be friends with winners. But then with kids, it was like, but you go to this class and you're going to be friends with whoever you have to sit next to. And so that's been the, that's been the biggest, one of the fun changes to say is it's just like, how do you know that part's healthy? Because for us, that part was less healthy than this. It's just different. And getting to see how they interact. They just make friends now in different ways, and they have better social skills than I had when I was their age, for sure.
Yeah, and I can absolutely look back on. I did a whole series of journaling, I think, between 2015 and 2016, where I was on a daily basis going back and kind of picking apart my socialization.
Oh, wow.
And I was seeing all of the different ways that through the traditional way of socializing, what I really became was competitive, protective, inauthentic, and striving to fit in every way that I possibly could, and also Absolutely. Be at the top of the ladder. Like, yeah. I always was positioning to be at the top of a ladder, and being giving and being supportive and collaborative. And although naturally, because I have great parents, I turned out okay. And I was never like a mean kid, but that's what was going on in my mind. So regardless of that, if that was coming out outwardly, it was happening in my mind. And that was my truth. There was no other option. So I love the way you answered the question, because in my own experience, the socialization ended up being painful and something I had to work through. Versus something that worked for me. And you could say it worked for me to have to work through it. But I don't think we have time anymore to let kids go from 13 to 30 to work out how to feel like they're enough. Like,
right.
We need less broken relationships.
People. Yeah.
Less broken people, for sure. Yeah. And whether that's an amazing charter school or public school or private school or homeschool, whatever it is, as parents who are listening to this call, one of the great things about Fambundance is that there's all parents and couples in this community, families in this community who are pushing the boundaries, pushing the edges to bring new ideas and new opportunities your way, so that you just have something to consider on what is the best way and at what level does preparing your kids for the future, where does that play a role in your priorities?
Yeah.
Because in many ways, one of your highest hopes is that you're setting your kids up to be quote unquote fulfilled, successful, feel a deep sense of meaning and purpose to where they feel good feelings as they get older and move into their adult lives.
Exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
Let's finish on this. I want to finish with the 5-hour school week, and just give us a synopsis on the 5-hour school week, the book, the movement, where people can find you, and any other last little bit of wisdom you'd like to share with the FamBundance community.
Yeah. You know, it's evolving right now. It's a really exciting time actually for the 5-hour school week, because when we wrote it, I really thought that it was just supposed to be like our story. We were going to share it. Maybe a couple hundred people would see it, and then we would just go on to living our life. Like, I just didn't have a big idea of what it was going to be. And it's just been a really incredible journey, because it's done really well and it's touching a lot more families and lives than I thought it was going to be. And as I get to interact and like build community through the 5-hour school week, and people just like trying to find their way, because right now so many people are looking for alternatives and they're dissatisfied for what they've been doing, and they don't know what else is out there. Like, we didn't know how big the world was. We didn't know that there was other truths, right? And so that was my goal, was to just say like, hey, there's other truths. Like, you don't have to stay in that one little box if you want to find something else. And that was the only reason I wrote the book. And now, just because of the amount of like emails and messages and interaction that I'm having with people, there are so many people looking for something else that, you know, my biggest message right now is like the 5-hour school week that is like, definitely, yes, you can learn like the traditional academics in an hour a day. I believe that, like, overall, like, I absolutely believe in that. But the 5-hour school week to me right now is, it is really about like living and learning life, like your very best life together as a family. I think one of the things that I learned in, even going back, one of the things that Aaron learned in GoBundance, like that live life big, live life to the fullest, be your best self, right? That's what we like encourage. And then we walked into FamBundance and you say the exact same things. And then we tell our kids to do that. And to tell our kids to do that means that we have to actually give them the freedom to do that. That it's like, when we say pick our 5, we need to encourage our kids to pick their 5. And when we say live our big lives, like, we need to give them space and freedom to live their big lives. Like, there needs, like, this isn't just about us learning. It's about like bringing them along with us. And that's really the movement that it's becoming. And it's really fun. I've started a new YouTube series called I Want to Homeschool But, because that is my emails that I get. I want to do what you're doing, but XYZ. And I'm going to tell you, Jeremy, 100%, it's underlined, but I'm scared. I'm scared. I have fear. And so I want to break that down. And I want to say, like, you are capable. You are able, like, nobody knows your children the way that you know your children. And so, so you can find us on Instagram, on Facebook. Our book is for sale on Amazon. You can get the first 200 pages for free if you go sign up for our newsletter. What else? And then we have the YouTube series. So if you follow us on YouTube, I just rolled out the first episode on Monday, and I'm really excited about that. And yeah, right now I just want to give the biggest thing for me is I really just want to give parents permission to walk through that fear and like live their best life with their kids. And that, like, that's literally what it is for me now.
When we first decided to do it too, we were just living our life. And everybody just kept messaging Kalina on Facebook and saying,
"How do you do that?
What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? How are you doing that? Why are you doing this? I've thought about doing it." And they would just ask her questions. So she'd get questions every day. But what about this? What about this? Well, that's what the book became. The book just became the answers to all those questions she was getting. And I just kept saying, "Kalina, people want to hear this. We got to get it in a book." And so, but again, it was just so at the beginning people would know that they weren't alone. There were some other options. And if they were questioning the system and they wanted to hear about some other ways that people question, we wanted to be another resource for people to educate themselves, because we didn't feel like there was enough resources for us. And nobody really told us, hey, it's okay to question the way that it's been. Yeah. It's okay to question and say, maybe just because I grew up that way and just because my parents grew up that way doesn't mean my kids have to grow up that way. And so just giving permission to research stuff, know they're not alone, and then be a resource. And now the interaction with all the people that reach out to Clean Online, like they're getting, you know, she's their teammate. She's going through it with them.
Awesome. Well done. Thank you so much for the mission that you're on as a family and as parents, as entrepreneurs. There's a kind of like a three, you know, you're on a mission as like entrepreneurs, you're on a mission, you know, as a family, and you're on a mission as partners. And in a way, you're on a mission now as teachers, which you could say every parent has the responsibility of being their kid's greatest teacher, because I have been digging in pretty hardcore to some of these resources of individuals who are doing work inside of the communities of strengthening our kids' lives and strengthening the way that we parent. And there's a couple things that continue to come up. And one of them is, you know, as adults, we need to bring ourselves back down to remembering that just because we're adults, we're actually not that much different than the kids.
Right.
And that the kids see when we try and be know-it-all parents, they can see right through it. And that what they really need to see is a friend, and that's someone who's on their level. And the other thing that I see is they talk about how when you have a community of people, like a Fambundance community, where you have other resources of people who are at least curious and open to the conversation, that there's got to be a community for support. And it sounds like you're being called to be the 5-hour school week community, that as people are raising their hands and saying, what is this? I'm a little scared. I need more information. I really need something that helps me to move forward, that you're kind of helping to shape a community where people can come and get the information that helps them to push them past that spot where they're getting stuck.
Yeah.
And we really need that. So thank you, Aaron and Kalina, for being who you are. And thank you for taking the time out of your incredibly busy schedule to come join us on the Learn and Grow call. And we're looking forward to sending this out to the community and getting the notes transcribed and everything. And check out the 5-hour school week. And thanks again for being such awesome people. I want to hug you guys both right now.
I know,
now.
Me too. Thanks, I miss buddy. You right
it's
now.
It's like the end of, I don't know how to end it, because usually we end with a hug.
Well, and really, I just want to say thank you for having us on here, and our apologies for being late. I really hate being late. So Aaron's going to hear about that for a minute, I'm sure.
I just blame it on so Aaron.
And we just love all of you guys so much. So thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Everyone have a great night.
All right.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.